Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. It's the 27th of March, 2022, and this is the after show. Last weekend, we did miss the after show. I recorded something, and it never got up, but I hope you had fun with the podcast that I put up yesterday, and then I think I did one Friday night, too. So I've been productive this last week. This morning's sermon recorded. I went out and I took my a ham radio license test for my general series, if those of you that are familiar with that, and passed. So that was kind of nice, trying to talk my kids into getting it. I'm used to living in places where having a radio of that type is simply something that is issued to you for emergency communication. So trying to bring best practices back home as I can. It's good to have a family that is not starting from ground zero in case something bad happens. When I grew up back in the previous century, and it was in the previous century, it was not unusual for us to go for a week without power. And granted, we lived at the end of a dirt road, okay? We lived, for this one winter in particular, we lived at the end of a dirt road. And we were the last, it was the last place that was going to get fixed because there was a lot of summer homes out there. And we just happened to winter out there. And so they weren't in any hurry to get around to us. So it might be a week, 10 days. And there was times we had a hand pump that was outside. It was a well. And there was a creek. And, you know, Coleman stoves and fireplaces and, you know, extra blankets. And it was no big deal. Now, you know, granted, I wasn't the mom trying to raise four kids. But everybody went to school every day. And, yeah, we walked, you know, a quarter mile, a third of the mile, whatever it was, to get to the blacktop to catch the bus. But the bus never stopped going to school. Bus got stuck in the snow. Everybody laughed at the school teacher or this bus driver. But none of that stopped anybody. You know, it was just part of the deal. You know, you got a little extra food. You got a little, you know, extra firewood. And, you know, it's just smart to live that way. And you know, I'm in a situation right now. I've got, I'm on the, you know, in this apartment building, a big, tall apartment building. And, boy, I'd hate to see what happens in this place with the power out for a week or 10 days. It would be, it'd be an ugly situation. It'd be a very ugly situation if this building, this complex of building, lost power for 10 days with the people living here. These are not a people that are used to being self-sufficient. These are not a people that are used to living for a week or two with no power, no electricity, no heat, and no access to a grocery store daily, let alone other considerations such as, you know, if the sewer went out or if you know, you're looking at self-defense situations. It'd be just a nasty, nasty situation. So I'd encourage you and your families to think about that. What happens if? It's a prudent thing to do. And as I've said before, anybody that buys life insurance, and it's going to date my station in life by saying this, but look, man, if you're responsible for other people, just get some. It can be cheap, and that's your basic prep in life. I know one too many dudes. You know, one is too many, but I know several guys that just dropped dead with leaving young wives and a bunch of kids. And you're saying, how could I possibly die? I'm you know, 35 years old, or I'm 45 years old, or I'm 28 years old. And boom, it happens. I mean, I've seen a guy, I fished with a guy in Alaska, drops dead. I think his wife was pregnant, and he already had a two-year-old. Now you'd think, well, that's, you know, of course you're fishing on commercial fishing in Alaska. You got to be prepared for that. People aren't. Other people, they're just, you know, got a little small business. They're just minding their own business. Or one guy, he was a preacher. You know, how high risk is that? It's not. Guy dies of brain cancer. And so, you know, if you haven't thought about those things, you know, that's your basic prep in life. And if you're forward thinking enough to buy life insurance, you ought to be forward thinking enough you know, have a week's worth of food and water on hand, and have thought through, you know, not necessarily worst case scenarios, but bad case scenarios for how your family's going to get along. And I've had the wonderful luxury of living in different places around the world, and it's just a part of the lifestyle. Get your go bag, get your documents ready, You know, you got a week of food, you got some extra water, your flashlight works, your radio works. I mean, it just becomes a lifestyle. It's not prepping. It's just, that's how you live your life. And I think, you know, not too many generations ago, 100% of the people did it, because 100% of the people, we just don't have the luxuries and the, you know, the just-in-time, you know, logistics change that we have today. Think about this. 100 years ago, people lived a camping lifestyle their entire life. Think about that. Think about all the people in the United States, Canada, perhaps Australia too. They lived a camping lifestyle their entire life for generations. I mean, let's say you were an original settler in on the East Coast in the 1600s or 1700s. How much running water did you really have? What was your sewer situation? What was your refrigeration situation? Did you have a Safeway? Did you have a Publix? What, there's no Walmart? You're in a camping situation your entire life for generations and generations and generations. Even up into the Second World War, 50%, I want to say 50% of Americans lived on farms up to 1940. You think they had running water and power at all those houses? Heck, I remember growing up where I grew up. It was a little rural. Okay, it was rural. And, you know, I knew a family. Her name was Bonnie. I forget her brother's name. Anyway, their house ran on generators. I go down there and see them, you know, play with them, we're, you know, friends. And house ran on a generator. That was their power. It wasn't no big deal. It's not a big deal. Even when I grew up, you know, if something happens or something wrong, we had an empty lot next door, outhouse on it. You go in the outhouse, you use the outhouse, you got an old Sears catalog sitting there, rip a page out, and that was your toilet paper. What? I can't believe it. No, what's not to believe? I was reading, I think it was in Australia, and it was, you know, in the 70s. Every house had an outhouse in the backyard. That was the sewage system. There was another article I was reading, and this guy, in the 70s or 80s here in the U.S., he just never got on city sewer. He lived in an urban area. I want to say it's New York State or Connecticut, back on the East Coast somewhere. And they've always had outhouses, perfectly sanitary. And every time one would fill up, might take 5 years or 10 years or whatever it was, they'd fill it up, dig a new hole, move it over 6 feet, whatever it was, wait a year and plant an apple tree or fruit tree on top of the old one. And boy, they got some nice apples. Big, juicy, ripe apples. I mean, you know, this is the most organic kind of fertilizer you can get. Now, you got to let it cook. It's got to cook. But once it cooks, it's. I mean, that's how God made it. I mean, how do you think the prairies were fertilized in the 1800s? It was a herd of buffalo. How do you think the savannas fertilized in Africa? It's a herd of wildebeest. I mean, that's what it is. What do you think oysters and clams feed on? Well, it's whatever's drifting through the water, and they suck it out, filter feeders, and they suck on it, and they eat it up. My grandma, God bless her, she grew up on a farm. She was born in the 1890. She had a green thumb. He said, you want to grow some tomatoes? You put a fish head down in the bottom of that hole and plant your tomato on top of it, and you'll get some serious tomatoes. And you can reduce your garbage to not zero, but close to zero. If you do things like compost, start composting. I can't. I live on a 10th floor of an apartment building. Well, I can't help you on there. Between composting and recycling, there's not a lot of garbage. And I have distinct memories from back in the 1960s in urban Seattle of people having burn barrels in their backyard, burning trash in their backyard. I can't believe that you would just burn garbage in the backyard. That's global warming. Hey, look, you know, you do what you do. We're not that removed from living I'd call it a sustainable lifestyle. Had your chickens. I had a friend of mine growing up. I mean, they just, you know, they didn't have a lot of money. None of us did where we lived. We didn't have a lot of money. But, you know, they had chickens and they had a couple pigs and they had this and that and the other thing. A lot of people did. Got your garden going on and you make your living. You did your blue collar trade and you make your living and you build your own house. And then, you know, I work generally with a class of people that can't even imagine that. Just can't even imagine that. And then they, you know, some of them will look down their nose on people like that as, oh, they're just ignorant people. But they really have it backwards. They have it utterly backwards. How is a man ignorant that can support his own family, take care of them in a crisis without food and water and the modern conveniences every day? And so I don't know. I don't know why I'm on this track today. I guess part of it is, you know, just my experiences over the last, well, I guess all my life, but, you know, even in the last decade or so, and even recently with the ham radio stuff. Talking to a guy today, and he works with, you know, one of our federal agencies, and part of his job is to, you know, contingency planning. You know, it's funny. People say, oh, you're a prepper. You know, why do you think the world's going to end? Look, there's people that have full-time careers as preppers. Their entire career as a GS-14, GS-15, SES is as a prepper. Have you ever heard of FEMA? You ever heard of the Department of Homeland Security or any of these other agencies? They have entire groups of people, and all they do is prep. That's what their job is. What happens if? Do we have backup power? Do we have backup fuel? Do we have backup communications? Do we have alternative work sites? Do we have security? That's all they do is prep. Do we have working relationships with our partner agencies? That's all they do is prep. They do that full time. How many MREs do we have? How many cases of MREs do we have? How many pallets of cases of MREs do we have? How fresh are they? They do that full time. And they ain't going to do it to take care of you and me, baby. They're taking care of their own butts, making sure their agency can do whatever their agency does. They do this full time. And they're building relationships with other agencies, whether it's federally, statewide, locally, and you know what else they do? They exercise, and you've heard it. Cascadia Rising was something that happened a few years back. You know what happens if there's a level 500 earthquake on the West Coast and you know, Seattle falls into the ocean. They exercise that stuff. Well, let's here's the scenario, and you got the, you know, red team writes up the scenario. Here's what happens. It's a category whatever earthquake. The major freeway falls apart. You had a 100-foot surge over the West Coast. All the bridges are down. All the docks are down, so the ferries can't get across Puget Sound. How are we going to take care of people? Well, how many helicopters do we have? Okay, well, we got 14 helicopters. Uh-huh. Well, how much fuel for the helicopters do we have? Well, we got, you know, 80,000 gallons. And how many pallets do we have? And they start they're crunching the numbers. All right, all the transportation is gone. That means nobody out on the Kitsap Peninsula can get food because all the bridges are down and the ferry docks are down. And even the freeway that goes up from down through Olympia, you know, that thing's, you know, landslide. It's gone. How are you going to feed those people? Well, helicopters. Yeah, but how many you got? And by the way, they're too busy hauling out people that need medical care. And all of a sudden, you've got a very realistic picture of how bad things are. It's like, okay, now we know what we're dealing with. So my question to you all, are you doing that with your family? Are you doing that with your wife and your kids? Are you doing that with your neighbors? I'm not doing it with my neighbors. I do it with my wife and my kids. We had a situation. It wasn't a situation, but we had we had a fire drill. We had a fire drill, 6-8 months ago. I said, all right, lights are out. You can't see anything. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and there's a fire. You can't get out through the main door because that's right where whatever is, the furnace or something like that. So we all went out an alternative exit, which happened to be a window type thing. And you know what we found out? We found out that it was actually easier than I thought it would be. I thought some of the members of my family would find it to be difficult, dangerous, maybe a scratch or a slip or a fall, but no, everybody went out really easily, and it gave me a great sense of relief. It's like, oh, what a relief. So that was nice. And I constantly ask my kids, you got your flashlight? Where's your flashlight? Well, it's on my phone. I said, hey, honey, that ain't good enough. You need a flashlight. Your phone goes out in about 6 hours, the rate y'all are playing your video games. Where's your flashlight? Oh, well, it's somewhere. I said, all right, well, it's fine. Let's get it out and put it on your next to your bed. And so I work with them on that kind of stuff. And then if somebody goes on a road trip, here's old dad. You got a knife? You got a can opener? You got a couple extra bottles of water? How about a blanket in the back in case you get stuck on the side of the road and somebody gets cold? You got some extra paracord? How about a flashlight? You got a flashlight in there? And you know, you build those questions in your mind. And you know, of course, for me, it always all goes back to being a Boy Scout and always camping and hunting as a younger man, as a kid. You know, you go out and live in the woods for 3 or 4 days, and you know, you got what you got. You got what's in your back. If you don't have it, if it's not on your back in your backpack, you're getting by without it. Whether it's a good time or not a good time. I took my kids camping here a year ago, and dear old dad forgot the matches, and we were able to get a fire started anyway. However, we did it. I had an electrical starter on a portable heater, and I was able to pop that sucker on, get the propane fired up, and get some dry pine leaves to transfer fire over to a fire pit. Anyway, you have to use your mind to think about those things. So if this is what your federal government is doing, and your state government, and your local government, and your city government are doing, ought not we be doing that for ourselves? I suggest we should. Y'all can read the news. This ain't a news show. I don't need to tell you what's going on out there. You guys already know what's going on out there. But it's not up to Uncle Sam or, you know, whoever it is in your country to take care of you and your family. It's up to you, Dad. It's up to you. It's up to you, Mom. It's up to you, older brother. It's up to you, older sister. It's y'all's responsibility. Draw a little circle around yourself and say, start right here. Power goes out. Do I have water? For me, my biggest thing is water. And it's not just for drinking. It's, you know, you have no water, running water for a week. You're looking at cholera. You're looking at cholera situations if that toilet ain't flushing. You know, what's your backup plan if your toilet doesn't work? Are you going to let people poop in there for the next 3 weeks hoping it starts working? Not a good idea. Not a good plan. What's your backup plan? You got a 5-gallon bucket with maybe some heavy-duty plastic bags in there to you seal it off so you can deal with it? You got a pick and a shovel in a backyard? I'm not asking you to go out there and spend a bunch of money. I'm asking you to use the gray matter between your ears. That's what I'm really, really recommending. Don't go out and spend a bunch of money. Start using the gray matter between your ears. That's really the beginning and the end of it. And once you use that gray matter and work through those things, then it's like, okay, now I'm getting it. And then you go out there and you practice it. And I got a group of friends. I mean, I talked to my family about this, and they say, no, Fritz, you're crazy. I mean, they don't say that because they love me. And I might be crazy, but they still don't say that. And everybody, the whole world, had a little wake-up moment with this COVID thing a couple years ago, and all of a sudden you go to the store and ain't nothing there. What a great opportunity to start thinking through what you need and what you really don't need. What's important and what's not important. Is rice important? I mean, you know, batteries? And, best case scenario over this 2022, prices are going to go up quite a bit. I mean, I've already seen. I'm actually even talking past tense. I'll go down to Safeway. Eggs have doubled. I used to get them for $1.99 a dozen. Now I'm looking at $3.50 minimum. I'm like, they're eggs. Come on. How can that be? So, you know, look, it's not going to hurt you. Just use that brain. Now, the other prep that every one of us needs to do, we got to do this. And this isn't, you know, this is the after show. I don't generally do a whole lot of theological things on the after show, unless I really want to. But look, at the end of the day, it's the end of the day. At the end of the day, for every single one of us, it's the end of the day. And the end of the day sometimes comes when it's not convenient for us. And if you don't believe that, go take a walk through the cemetery. And it's an important thing. I've walked through cemeteries my whole life. I think I've mentioned this to you. You know, in my youth, I had a glorious youth, and we used to have our social events in the old cemetery from the Pioneer Cemetery, and it was overgrown, and there was, I mean, you could see bones and skulls and big bonfires, man, big keg of beer or whatever we had. Oh, God, it was the glorious days before it was the 70s, okay? Forget cell phones. The world was... It was a free country. It was a free country. Volunteer fire department at age 16, putting on the, you know, full on air packs and going into fires, riding on the back bumper of a fire truck. They don't even do that anymore because it's too dangerous. What a glorious time! What a glorious time to be alive. And yeah, I not everybody my age made it to 25. Okay, I got it. You know, life's dangerous. But man, ain't it good to be free? Ain't it good to be free? But take a walk through a cemetery and see how many dudes or dudettes passed away before your current age. And just keep that in mind. Understand that there's an accounting that we have that will happen, and that the date of that accounting is unknown to us. Please know that the date of that accounting is unknown to us. We don't know the time. We don't know the date. We don't know how it comes. It's okay that it comes. It's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing that it comes. But understand that. Get that right, man. Get that right. Get right with your maker. You know who your maker is? You've been listening to me. You know exactly who your maker is. Your maker is Jesus Christ. You know who the judge is? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the judge. I know everybody tries to sell him as he's the cuddly little Jesus. No, the dude's the judge. And not everybody's going to make it into the good place. A lot of people are going to go to the bad place. Who sends them there? It's Jesus Christ. All right, enough of that. We did the sermon this morning, Fritz. Let's just stop all the religious stuff. Let's go back, talk about prepping or something. That's good enough. All right, okay. Got the message. Anyway, I had fun today. You know, you get cooped up in COVID land, and you get cooped up on remote working, and you don't see a live human being for days and days and weeks on end, and next thing you get out, and God, I was chatting up a storm with the lesbian Uber driver, and I was chatting up a storm with the guy from Bangladesh, and I was chatting up a storm with, you know, these old white guys getting their ham thing on, and I just had a great time, had a great day. Hope to share some of that with you guys. That's it for now. Fritz Berger, and this has been the After Show. See me at bloodandfaith.com. Out.